to that later. I could play you a little bit of it now, you know, like an appetizer.
Okay. How many public appearances do you do these days?
More and more lately. I know, I'm fixing to get back into it. I got a little band I'm starting up, and it's going to be great. Sweet. Except they tell me to tune up. I'm sure they would.
Necessary thing, though. So much nicer when everything's ringing right.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
Nothing but the wheel. When'd you write this one?
Oh, gosh, it's probably late 80s, early 90s.
Okay. Give us a little tease.
We all passed the boulevards out here underneath the stars. I've been flying past the houses, farms, and fields. Rushing through the cold night air, holding on to nothing but the wheel. Sticking clear of the interstate, I've been seeking out those old two lanes, trying to till all at once it's 3:30, and it's down to just the trucks and me, and I'm holding on to nothing but a wheel. I've been trying to drive you all. Maybe that way, baby, I can leave it all behind. Before the one goes on and on, and the lights go winding in the dawn, and the skies are colored. And the only thing I know for sure is if you don't want me anymore, then I'm holding on to nothing but the wheel. Thank you.
Who else recorded that?
Well, Patti Loveless had the great, wonderful hit on that thing, and I wish I had a copy of it with me, but I don't. Yeah. I don't have it with me. But later on, toward the end of the show here, we'll play a wonderful cut on this song that I got by Peter Wolf. And he got Mick Jagger, his friend, to sing the harmony on it.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
We're going to close out with that one.
Yeah. It's not quite the way I did it, but...
Do people compare you to, not your writing, but your voice and your playing to anybody that typically you heard people say...
No, you got somebody in mind?
Tom Rush, a little bit.
Tom Rush? Oh, dear, I was a big Tom Rush fan when I was a kid. Wait a minute. Surely that didn't take a hold.
You know... You would call yourself a singer-songwriter, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah.
Now, why do you think some singer-songwriters are able to make a go of it? You know, even though they don't necessarily get a lot of radio airplay, and they're not necessarily household names. I'm thinking of people like John Prine, maybe Lyle Lovett, maybe like Joni Mitchell, and you know, people that are writers and players and performers, I mean, know and love these folks, but they're not necessarily, our dads might not know who they are, but why are they able to make it? And other folks whose songs are maybe just as good, maybe, and sang just as good and play just as good, you know, you got a perspective on that?
Well, you know, once again, if you ever get an idea about that, just... Be sure to let me know.
I'm raising all the big cosmic questions.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to know that because that's you mentioned the company I'd like to be in. You know.
How many songs are you writing a year?
Not quite as many as I used to because I had to cut down. My doctor put me on a song diet.
All right. Let me just ask you some songwriting kinds of questions here. You come up with the chords first before the melody? Or vice versa, or together, typically?
No, I've never heard anyone ask. They always ask about the lyrics and the melody, not the chords. Oftentimes I will get a melody going through my head and I define the chords.
Mm-hmm. Is that typical? The way a song's born when you sit down with a blank piece of paper?
Well, but see, conversely, sometimes I'll sit down with the guitar and no melody and just start playing something and something fall out. So
there is no typical?
Not for me.
All right. Does the meaning of a song need to be obvious?
Nouns, damn it, nouns.
When you're working on a lyric, are you always working on the lyric with the music, either in your head or, you know... In other words, you're thinking of how the lyric's going to fit with the music.
Always. Yeah.
Do you plot out the so-called story in advance? Or it's like, sometimes you're writing, it's like, I don't know what's going to happen in this song. I mean, is it normally, you know, you got it all plotted out? Or it's like, you don't know, you're just kind of on a journey and you're not sure where you're headed?
Well, sometimes those journey songs are fun, but you never know where you're going to end up.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's nowhere good.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So, I mean, what we'd like to do or try to do is to at least get the germ of the real idea so you can have something to...
What the destination is.
Right. So you have something to build it on.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all I know about that.
You think each key has its own character?
Absolutely. They got names, too. I mean, other than, you know, E and A and D.
What do they got?
Fred, Myrtle, Sam.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Huh. Do you have favorite keys?
Yeah, Myrtle.
Myrtle, which is?
D.
D. You know why? Or you just know it and accept it?
Well,
and
I mean, you know, it's the one I can sing to.
Okay. That has a lot to do with it right there.
No, there's some keys that really do have different colors to them, and D is really good for... plaintive, wistful, ancient Irish, Welsh, morning kind of songs.
You like the minor keys?
I do. I have to stick away from them, you know, for commercial reasons.
Yeah. So you think there's a connection between the major keys and commercial? What's commercial?
Yeah, but that that, you know, changes all the time. Mm. Sometimes there's minor key phases we go through.
Right, right. You think songs mean as much to the culture today as they did in earlier previous decades? I'm talking 20s through the 60s, let's say.
Well, you know, because I don't know much about rap, I'd have to say no. But if I did, I would say probably yes, because, you know, those kids probably get a lot from that music. I don't myself, but I wouldn't say that's not saying anything, you know.
You think a great songwriter is something you're born with, that it's a gift, or is it something that you either have or you don't, or you think you can be, you know, not have any much of ability at all and just work and develop it to where you can kind of get there?
No, that'll never happen. I've that much I can say.
You either got it or you don't.
Well, you know, and it's not a matter of all or nothing either. It's you know, you know when the spark is there and when it's not. And right. So many folks come to town and think that they want to be a songwriter or something, or an artist, for the wrong reasons. They're looking at something that it's not all about, even. Mm-hmm. You know, they're looking at maybe the finished product or something. Mm-hmm. You know.
You think Hank Williams would be able to make it today as a songwriter?
Oh, maybe even he would have a hard time. I don't know, man. Jesus.
When you sit down to write, you ever try to go for the, this is going to be a single. I'm writing a single. You ever have that kind of mentality
Yes,
about it?
Yes, we used to try to inoculate ourselves with that mentality, but that doesn't work either, because who knows what the next single craze is going to be, you know?
You always have a title that you're writing toward, and, you know, like the writing book, How to Write a Song book, say, you know, have a title and everything needs to point toward the title, and, you know, hit the hook within so many seconds and repeat it a lot. I mean, do you kind of try to tip your hat to that?
I think that relates back to what we were saying before about the journey songs. You know, mm-hmm. you can have a song you don't approach like that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can have one with a clear, focused thing, and it's obviously got to be the title, you know, that mm-hmm. you're going to focus on there.
Did Dylan influence you much?
Very much. I still think he's one of the great American songwriters, for sure.
You think knowing music theory is important?
It is. I suppose, well, you know, I learned the rudimentary Nashville music number theory, so I'm not a trained musician by any stretch of the imagination. But a rudimentary knowledge of theory is very important mm-hmm. for any writer.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite song form in terms of, like, you know, verse, chorus, bridge, chorus kind of a thing?
No, it's
it takes on a life of its own.
Oh, every song's got to take on its own structure, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like a building. Like, if you're an architect, you know, you don't want to build the same house every time.
All right. You think there's a difference between memorable and catchy?
Oh, yeah.
What's the difference, would you say?
Well, catchy is great that week, and then, you know,
it's not memorable.
It's gone, buddy.
It's not memorable.
It's not memorable.
Does a lyric need to be conversational?
Let's see. Nouns. I don't think you need to converse at all now. Just throw a bunch of nouns out there. I'd say Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Is that conversational enough for you?
I've you know, people will say, you know, people don't talk like that. So you got to write it the way people really talk. Are you cognizant of that when you're writing?
Well, you know, like we were talking about earlier, when I was writing those 10-minute hippie songs, I used to use words like extrapolate in my songs and stuff.
I do that.
You know, and so I suppose if if you get down to that, maybe you're right. I don't know.
Do you have a website?
I do. JohnScottSherrill.com. Although it's inactive, I think, because I'm not a computer guy. But there it is.
And people can find you on the web and where people, to buy your
people
music
can,
and stuff?
People can find me on the web and on Facebook. And on.
You have CDs out there that you're promoting,
that,
selling?
That I'm working on because I'm like I said, just in the process of putting that all together.
Do you have any songs of yours that you like the best, that you like better than others?
Well, yes, you have certain favorite children.
Which ones do you like the best?
Right now, one of my favorites is a song called Sweeter Than Sugar Cane. But, you know, you never know what child is going to do good in math and what's going to do good in algebra, I mean, English, you know.
That is true. Why don't you play us? A while ago, I thought you were going to play a Modern Day Drifter. And you played Would You Go With Me, which was great. I'm glad I got to hear that, but I'd love to hear Modern Day Drifter. Is there a story behind this song? And Dirk's cut this. Have other people?
No, just Dirk's, as far as I know.
You get a lot of feedback. You got a lot of people coming up and talking to you about this song.
About what?
Coming up to you and saying, man, this song's really, you know, hit the spot for me. And just, you know, you get a lot of people just complimenting you on this song.
No, but feel free if when I finish it, you know.
John Scott Sherrill and Modern Day Drifter.
Keep this thing tuned. I mean, keep it up where it's not buzzing.
Pretty sound of guitar.
Being gone.
does everybody understand that a modern day drifter's got nothing but time on his slip this ring off my finger. Everybody understands that a modern day drifter's got nothing but time on.
Scott Sherrill and Modern Day Drifter. I love your guitar work, man. You play up all up and down the neck and everything. Some beautiful chord phrasing there.
Oh, thank you, man.
Yeah. Do you have a songbook out? You know, like there's like the songs of John Scott Sherrill, and you open it up and it's got the words and the chords and how to play your hits. And
There is one out there somewhere. It's old, though. I need to
revisit that.
Yeah, revisit that.
Who published that?
Find a new one. It was Dell Publishing, I think.
Yeah. Sweet. I bet some folks out there would like to learn how to play some of these songs. Let's listen to Jody Messina do Even God Must Get the Blues.
Yeah, let's do that, man.
From 2000. And you co-wrote this with?
With Deanie Anton. And she's a wonderful... wonderful gal from Houston, Texas.
Who might be listening?
Who might be listening?
Sweet. Here we go. Jody Messina and Even God Must Get the Blues.
Pick up any morning paper. Turn on the 6 o'clock news. The devil's been so busy lately that even God must get the blues. A young man lies there in street, his life gone like it was nothing to lose, and for the shoes there on his feet, yes, even God must get the blues. Young girl hides her the 10 o'clock news. Yeah, now the devil's been so busy lately that even God must get the
Jody Messina and Even God Must Get the Blues, written by my guest tonight, John Scott Sherrill. Sweet man. And we were talking about music from the motion picture Lucky You. And this came out in, can't read that, 07?
Yep.
Maybe? And we were talking about how... You knew Christofferson when you moved to town.
I did. He was writing for Combine, but he'd already left kind of for L.A. to become a movie star by that point, and he would occasionally show up, and so when he blew into town, it was great because he was already well on the way to being a major, major figure in our world, you know.
We were talking about how unusual it is for him to cut other people's stuff, and but he cut one of your songs.
Yeah, he never cuts other people's songs. I mean, I really consider that to be
that is an honor and
an honor in itself,
a very special thing. And this is not a co-write; you wrote this all by yourself.
I wrote this all by myself, and Chris cut it. Waylon cut it first years ago, but then Chris did it for this movie, so I brought this along.
That I'm glad you did. They, you want to say anything about it other than you want to set it up somehow?
Well, it's a song that Waylon and I could relate to because it was about the demise of the old-fashioned honky-tonk, which is still going on. And it's, you know, it's all Fern Bars wall-to-wall kids from now on, unless somebody does something about it. That's what this
song is. Did you know Waylon?
Yeah, a little bit.
Now, when you write songs that turn out to be hits and well-known songs... by various artists, does that mean that you get to, like, you know, have some kind of a relationship with these people, or
you know,
different?
I wish it was the case. Sometimes it is that way, and you become dear friends for life, and sometimes they cut your song and disappear from the world, and you never...
Yeah.
In fact, sometimes you never meet them. They cut the song, and you never meet them ever.
Yeah. Did you ever go through I don't want to call it a phase, but... a portion of your career where you were opening for other people?
Well, with Billy Hill, the...
with the band, but as a solo.
That we did. No, I'm not...
As the hit writer guy.
No, I haven't done that yet. That's the next phase of my career, right there.
I could see that happening.
I could too. Let's open for Chris Stapleton. That's what I'm open for.
Listening out there, Chris... Here we go, Chris Christofferson doing They Ain't Got Them All.
They Ain't Got Them All.
John Scott Sherrill wrote this. I think it's over here.
There are still places where people like me can hang out nothing at all in this old world to worry about. They ain't tore them all down yet and said every man for himself, or polished them up until nothing worth keeping is left. They ain't got them all. If you try here and there, you'll still find a few holes in the wall. They're an endangered species, but I'm keeping track, and I can tell you they ain't got them all. Mm-hmm. walk up and change your whole world. Who don't even know they're impossibly beautiful girls. Who for some crazy reason will hold you so close in the night. Till nothing else matters and you finally start feeling alright. They ain't got them all. They're still there and they're wanting and wonderfully willing to fall. They're an endangered species, but I'm keeping track and I can tell you they ain't got them all. They ain't got them all. If you try here and there, you'll still find a few holes in the wall. They're an endangered species, but I'm keeping track, and I can tell you they ain't got them all.
Chris Christopherson, amazing songwriter Christopherson, doing a cover of John Scott Sherrill's song, They Ain't Got 'Em All. John's going to play a couple more live for us here.
I'm going to have to do a little tuning up. Let's talk about something fun while I do that.
Let's talk about, do you play other instruments besides the guitar?
Piano, sort of.
You ever
work? Write on.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you compose on piano?
Absolutely. In fact, it's so great to have both of those instruments at your disposal as a writer because they open up totally different worlds.
Yeah. I think it was Jackson Brown. I was reading an interview with Jackson Brown where he says he'll always kind of take it back and forth while he's in the writing process because, you know, things emerge. You know, when you're at the keyboard, that doesn't jump out at you on the guitar and vice versa.
Really true. And, you know, the keyboard is laid out logically. If a man was smart enough, he would be able to figure it out really easy because it's all there.
Yeah. Like he repeats over and over.
Over and over. It's not like the guitar, which is mysterious from end to end.
It is pretty mysterious. Do you ever use notes or chords that aren't in the key of the song?
On purpose?
Yeah. On purpose.
I've been accused of that. I've been accused of it a lot.
Deliberately.
Yeah, man. When you're working in the blues register, you can always grab those cool notes, you know?
Yeah. Did you ever impose any rules upon yourself that you later discarded because you felt like, why should I impose these rules on myself? Why not have more of a free reign, if that makes any sense?
Well, you know, there were rules imposed upon me at Combine and various other places.
That you accepted and later rejected?
That you accepted because you didn't know any better. It's like when a cop tells you can only drive 65, well, hell, you I know this car can do 120.
That's kind of like when they ask Tom Waits how he'd like to die, and he says, I don't think I'd like it. Same sort of thing, yeah.
Exactly.
So, Some Fools Never Learn. How about that one?
Oh, yeah, man.
Who's cut this?
Steve Warner had the definitive cut on this.
This went to number one?
Yeah, and it was just a wonderful record he made on it, and...
This is the guy who wrote it right here. Some Fools Never Learn.
Well, all my friends say I should leave you alone. You got a heart like a stone and a wandering eye. And I know that they're right. I can make up my mind not to see you again, but you move through my dreams like the wind. It's no good to pretend it won't happen again, 'cause it'll happen again. Some fools never learn. You play with the fire and you're gonna get burned. It's only love when you loved in return. Some fools never learn. Some fools never learn. And baby, try. But I'm just not that strong. Yes, I knew all along, but that's not enough. I was falling in love, and you don't know it. But I came over tonight, there was somebody's car parked outside. Damn my eyes, damn this heart of mine. I drove off into the night. Some fools never learn. You play with the fire and you're gonna get burned. It's only love when you loved in return. Some fools never learn. Some fools never learn. And somewhere in the city tonight, there's a girl and she's lonely like me. She'll be easy to see, and naturally she'll have that look in her eye. She'll be feeling that way. I see it all plain as day. I know I'll never be what she wants me to be. Yeah, but lucky for me, some fools never learn. Play with the fire and you're gonna get burned. It's only love when you loved in return. Some fools never learn. But some fools never learn. But some fools never learn.
That was a hit by Steve Warner. Some fools never learn. Mr. Honky Tonk, who cut that?
Ah, that's what nobody's uncut yet. I was going to spring one on you that's brand new.
All right. Spring one.
And ain't nobody cut it yet.
Do it.
I'm Mr. Honky Tonk, and I ain't afraid to greet the dawn. Don't tell me that I won't, 'cause I'm Mr. Honky Tonk. I can keep going all night long, and even when it's almost gone, I just keep on keeping on, 'cause I'm Mr. Honky Tonk. And I don't wait till the sun goes down to head for the lights of town. But that's where I can always be found, just hanging round, 'cause I'm Mr. Honky Tonk. Don't keep me from being gone, 'cause I'm Mr. Honky Tonk.
the sun goes down to head for the lights of town. Well, that's where I can always be found, just hanging round, 'cause I miss the honky tonk, and I ain't afraid to greet the dawn. No, don't tell me that I won't, 'cause I miss the honky tonk. No, don't tell me I want, 'cause I miss the honky tonk, honky tonk.
Nice, nice. John Scott Sherrill, when you gonna pitch a song, what kind of demo do you usually work up? You work up something full blown or vocal guitar?
It all it depends on the song so much, you know.
How about that song?
Certain song, that song there, I've got a bad demo on that I've never played for anybody because it had a band demo that the band didn't catch it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you can run the risk of spending a bunch of money and have to go back in and cut that thing again, or just, I don't know. But, you know, some songs got to have a real band.
Yeah.
They're not going to fly.
Yeah.
Some songs, yeah, I think you can pull off with a piano and vocal or guitar and a vocal.
Yeah. Do you pitch your stuff to film and TV at all?
Now that I have my new division, my West Coast division of Lobo Libre, no.
You know, I've heard that's a pretty good avenue to explore.
Yeah, it is, and I've had some good luck out there. What I should do is take the old Lobo Libre catalog out to the West Coast and go around and see if I can round up any movie business.
Do you get invitations to speak at different seminars and workshops and conferences?
I have done quite a bit of that, and
enjoy that.
I do to a certain extent. When it gets to be a big panel discussion, you know, up on a thing, sometimes it can get a little out of my league, I would say, because I'm more of a, you know, back porch kind of armchair kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know.
Rhyming dictionaries, is that okay?
I don't use them, but...
you don't need to?
They're okay. No, name a word, I'll rhyme it. No, just kidding.
Aren't you glad I didn't say orange?
Yeah, orange. Who was it? Roger Miller came knocking on somebody's door who claimed that they couldn't rhyme orange because Roger claimed he could rhyme anything.
Well, Roger's something else.
And he came knocking on this co-writer's door one day when he was involved with some other writer, and he opened the door and said, "Door hinge." And shut.
There you go. There you go. How about cliches? Is it okay to have a cliche in a song?
If it's a really good one.
Okay.
If it's appropriate.
Okay. You think your best work comes from actively, consciously thinking about what you want your song to say?
No.
Okay.
No, the best work, I mean, you have to do that when you're actually working on the song, but your best work comes when the lightning bolt hits, you know?
Mm-hmm. So do you only write when the lightning bolt hits? Do you ever write in a disciplined manner, like you say? I guess you do when you co-write, because you're getting an appointment.
An appointment. You can't wait for the lighting bolt.
Yeah. But how does the muse factor in to your creativity?
Well, you know, it's like you were just saying. It's much more of an issue when you're writing by yourself.
Because
if you have an appointment, then either the other person will have an idea, or you'll come up with one on the spot, and you'll be able to bounce it off each other and find some common ground. If it's just you... That's a whole another ballgame.
Yeah. Do you think, do you ever write with two other writers? It's a three-way deal?
Mm-hmm.
Is that experience a lot different than a two-way write?
Yeah, and if it's the right three people, it can be wonderful because you can really get some good energy going.
Because somebody always, you know, one person, you know, there's always somebody maybe that can contribute something interesting to.
Sometimes that's what worked out really, really well, you know, occasionally.
Do you record your writing stuff just in case something happens that you know, you use it or lose it. You know, you didn't grab it, so it's like, how did it go? What did I do? Just, you know, and but if you got something recording, then you can play it back and say, oh, that's what I just did. I mean,
well,
that sort of thing.
You know, I don't usually write that way, but occasionally you'll have to do that. When you're writing with a real genius songwriter, like Dave Loggins, let's take him for example.
Yeah.
David will... He will start spouting stuff out that is pure genius poetry, and nobody's fast enough with a pencil to write it down. He doesn't know what he's saying. You better have something, Ronnie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Just stream of consciousness.
Yeah, you
like
better.
Just pouring out.
Yes, sir. And that's when you need a tool like that, for sure. For sure.
Do melodies ever come and land on you when you're not even trying to write a melody?
Oh, that's the bane. You ask my poor wife. They land on me all the time. I got to stop whatever I'm doing, and you know they just land on you. And
you have a little tape recorder or something that captures.
No, I just got to usually run to find something that I do have somewhere. I should. I used to have a little tape recorder, a Walkman, I put it in my pocket, but don't have that no more.
We're about to the point where we're going to get into this last song here. You got anything you want to promote or say or talk about?
Let's see. Well, we got a Bluebird gig coming up here this coming Friday night. Me and Leslie Sadger and Even Stevens and Scotty Emmerich.
Nice.
That'll be a lot of fun.
The 9:30 show?
Yeah, 9:30 show. That'd be fun for everybody to come out and see, I'm sure.
Tickets are on sale.
Leslie's great, and Even Stevens and Scotty are wonderful, wonderful. So, you know, that ought to be fun.
You do other venues besides Bluebird?
Yeah, and I'm just trying to start branching out a little bit into some of this stuff. I'm going to be playing a late night party at the IBMA.
All right.
That's coming right up.
Next week, I think.
It's one of those, I think I'm following 18 South at one of these midnight parties somewhere on the
Excellent, yeah. Excellent.
And then I got to put in a plug for Del Rio Days out in Del Rio, Tennessee. I'll be playing out there in October toward, I think it's the 25th, 24th and 25th of October, I believe.
Do you keep a calendar anywhere where people, on Facebook or any place like that, you're going to keep a schedule of where people can catch up with you?
Well, I'm you know, now that I'm launching into my new career, I'm going to have to do that, by Craig.
Because I'm sure there's people out there listening that are going to want to come catch up with you and hear you live.
Yeah, well, it you know, as soon as I get my booking agent out of the commode, I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to have a serious talking to him.
Anything else?
Let's see. Coming up, not that I know of, but... I know we got a lot of good new songs about to come out, so that'll be fun to look forward to.
Sweet. Peter Wolf is who?
Peter Wolf was the lead singer for the Jay Giles Band back in
the
day.
I knew you were going to say that. And Magic Dick.
Yeah, and he's a...
Whammer Jammer.
Yes. And he's something else. And he somehow or other heard the Patti Loveless version of Nothing But the Wheel and decided that he wanted to cut it himself and... thought it sounded kind of like a
he's a buddy?
Yeah.
Is he a friend?
Yeah. I thought it sounded kind of like a Rolling Stones record in his mind, so he called Mick up and said, would you cut this with me? And he said, yeah. So it was the most magical cut I've ever
that
had.
That is
really
awesome. And this is on a record somewhere?
This is on Peter Wolf's record that he ran into some sort of trouble with the label, and I don't know if it ever came out. Or it came out, but it didn't really hit the stores, kind of thing. But anyway.
Did you work on this song a long time? Did it take a long time to write it, or was it kind of a quickie?
Nothing But the Wheel?
Yeah.
It was another long one, man. There, some of them take a long time.
Sometimes.
And this one did.
Do you find that you have to, you know, that you write it and it's kind of sort of done, but you know you play it every day for a while, and the more you play it, the more little things, little tweaks emerge that, you know, I think I need to tweak it here, and that goes on for however long it takes, and then finally you say
sometimes years.
Yeah. But then you can have these short ones that just have you. I'm sure you've heard the expression that song just wrote itself. Does that happen much for you?
I've had that too, where they just fall out, you know, in a matter of minutes, as long as it takes to sing it, as long as it takes to write it.
Almost like you're channeling it or something. You think you are channeling?
And perhaps so, because who knows where these songs come from anyway?
That's what everybody says.
And when, especially when they're like that, the ones where you have to just labor through them, you know, for years, that's kind of different. But
I've heard McCartney say that he just kind of plucks it out of the air every now and then. It's just kind of there, and he just grabs it.
Well, I believe that, except that Paul would only grab half of them. Remember, especially later on in his career, he never wrote a full song either.
Yeah.
He'd get bored halfway through and change it, remember?
Yeah.
Turn it to something else, but that's great.
John Scott Sherrill, thanks so much for coming out and being my guest tonight. It's been a pleasure and an honor and a privilege, man. And I just appreciate you, and congratulations on all your success. And I wish you lots more in the future. You're still a young man.
Well, thank you, Ty. I appreciate it. I've had a ball being here. Thanks.
Good. You betcha, buddy. Here's that song we were just talking about with Mick Jagger singing harmony and Peter Wolf on his album And Nothing But the Wheel.
Underneath the stars, I've been flying past the houses, farms, and fields. Leaving all I know back home, rushing through the cold night air, and holding on to nothing but the wheel.
I like your brother. I like your mother. I like you. And you like me too. We get a preacher. I'll buy a ring. We'll hire a band with an accordion, violin, and a tenor who can sing. You and me, you and me, babe. You and me, you and me, you and me. Maybe we'll rent one. It's got to be straight. We don't want a bent one. He'll drink his baby blue from a big brass cup. Someday he may be president if things loosen up. You and me, you and me, babe. You and me, you and me, you and me, babe. You and me, you and me, you and me, babe. You and me, you and me, you and me, baby. I'll take the train into the city every morning. You may be plain, I think you're pretty. In the morning, yeah, some nights we'll go out dancing. If I'm not too tired, some nights we'll sit romancing, watching the late show by the fire. When our kids are grown, kids their own, they'll send us away to a little home in Florida. We'll play checkers all day.